Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
The goal was to be able to help these disciples in this era be different in their world so they could make a difference.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. On today's program, Pastor Herron turns our attention to the book of James. We're going to listen in to part of the first message in an extended look at this general epistle. Today's introductory message is called, How to Be a Difference-Making Disciple.
You have your Bibles, turn to James. James chapter 1, if you would. We're just going to read four verses, the first four verses of James. If you have your Bible and you want to flip back to Acts chapter 12, we will refer to Acts chapter 12. Make comment about it in the message, the book of James. If you backed up, you would start with Revelation and back up a few pages into the book of James. But this is a book that we're going to be studying here really for months, and we're going to take our time through it by example of only getting through a couple of verses today, but I think this will be the best thing to do, what we should do. So let's read out loud James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 together. Ready? James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It was September 12th that Jeneil Guzman McMillan became known as the last person brought out alive of the rubble of the World Trade Center. It was 27 hours after that fateful event that happened at 12:30 on September 12th, that she, being the last survivor, pulled out of that rubble of a 110-story building now collapsed completely to the ground. This article says that she was fleeing down the stairs from her office on the 64th floor of that North Tower. The plane had hit. They knew there were problems. And when Jeneil Guzman McMillan got as far as the 13th floor, headed down to the first floor, when the building came down around her, suddenly she was in total darkness, buried alive, somewhat like an oven-hot tomb atop a ragged, rigid, tangled steel. And she was unable to move much of her body. At that point, she went in and out of consciousness. She heard voices. She thought she had seen a few lights. She had yelled for help. There was no other sound. Eventually, it was almost just became a whimper. She remembers two hands moving towards her, saying, I'm here to help you. What's your name? Jeneil. What's your name? Paul. I'm here to help you. I'll pull you out. That was all that she remembered, but then she began being passed down from person to person. Evidently, there's almost 300 of those that pulled her out, being the last survivor. In her remembrance, Paul never ended up showing up again. In her mind, she felt like it was an angel that came to help her. She was a person that had been away from God for a long time, a single mother with a daughter, remembered the daughter throughout this particular time. But now here she is, finding herself in pitch darkness, in hot rubble, when she said she cried out to God for help. And that help came in the person of a rescuer breaking through the rubble, grabbing her hand. And in her darkness, moments, Jeneil Guzman McMillan promised her life to Jesus Christ. She went through some emotional problems, and it was a miracle that she even found total peace that she had had then every day since. She said, the tragedy I suffered was something I needed to go through in order to know Him. And you might be here today and understand that you've never had a September 11th, but you know what it is to feel like everything is caving in around you. You've had your share of pain, your discouragement, your darkness. Someone has trusted, has failed you. Maybe you failed. Maybe your health has let you down. Things are in turmoil at work or at home or in your personal life. You're really under it and you're wondering why. And maybe, just maybe in a way, it's Jeneal's story reenacted on the stage of your life. The tragedy you're suffering is what you've needed to go through in order to know your Creator. He loves you too much to lose you. He'll do whatever it takes to bring you to Him, to get your attention so you can finally find the relationship you were made for. You can move then from your religion to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And today I want you to understand that just as tragic an event as it was with 9/11, that thank God we haven't had one since and pray that it wouldn't, to realize that there are many, many people today that are going through their own daily tragedies, life caving in on them, and what do you do? And in that backdrop, you have to understand it's very similar to the days that James picks up his pen and writes a short epistle, a letter, if you would, to help the church at that time make a difference and being a difference-making disciple. I want, if you would, take out your Bible and also turn to Acts 12, because this might be a backdrop to what we find James penning these letters. Kind of a study of a book, of a Bible, something like preparing for a trip. You'd like to know where you are and where you're going and what you expect. So today, I'm just going to really look at an overview of James. I might answer four questions. If you're taking notes, you can jot these down and maybe draw application to all of us today, because I think it's so important to know that as tragedy as it was, which really catapulted us and our nation into a conflict with terrorism, regardless of your political view, the fact of the matter is there's a great dichotomy now and a great wars that are going on. Whether it's the greatest war happening, the worst day in the history of America might be discussed. But the reality is that it has created much conflict and pressures on people. And maybe you yourself find yourself in that particular category. These are four questions I'd like to answer. And if I may, first of all, start and understand that the book of James asks the question, when was that book written? I think it's important to put it in its historical context. And maybe the best thing to do is put you as an overview to this. It seems like eons ago, but it was about a month ago, we started the book of Jude. And Jude and James were both brothers. I'll say more about it in a minute. But this is kind of a bigger picture of the general epistles. I am categorizing Hebrews and Revelation for those of you that are Bible scholars. So understand that from 25 AD to 100 AD, there was a lot going on. The death of Christ happened around 33 or so AD. The conversion of Saul happened, became Paul. The destruction of the temple in 70 AD, we know. And then eventually the canon was closed to Scripture after the book of Revelation, just before 100 AD. Now, putting that, the other books we're going to be studying this year. We studied Jude, which was written about mid-60s or so. This book of James is one of the front end of the rest of these, what we call general epistles. These were books that were written primarily for multiple different reasons, but basically the goal was to be able to help these disciples in this era be different in their world so they could make a difference, hence our idea of making a difference. Now, if you put that as a backdrop, understand that when that was written was incredibly important. But along with that, understand who wrote the book, and it was James himself. There's a lot of different people identified who James was, but he himself, the Bible says, look at James 1, verse 1, he identifies himself as a servant of God. Acts 12, in that particular time, I'm going to get to that, so don't lose that. But notice, he says, this is who he was, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He identified himself as the servant of God and the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the only times that's mentioned, he himself says, I'm a doulos, the very idea of a slave. That's different than what they would know as andropodon, which is a slave that was made a slave. But a doulos was born a slave. This was the kind of person that had been captured and put in those ships and put as an under rower. This is one of those guys that would have been in the engines for the ships, that he had no rights, no expectations. He was a nobody. He was a tool for whoever his master was. That was a doulos. And James says, I'm that to God, and I'm also that to the Lord Jesus Christ, identifying him as God. And it was quite a humbling statement for James to make that. I think sometimes he thought, you know what? I don't want to identify myself with me being the brother, the half-brother, Mary and Joseph. I was one of those. I was the brother of Jesus. I lived in his home. I've mentioned this. So did another brother named Jude, who wrote the book that we looked at about a month ago. Both these guys grew up with Jesus, and they didn't get it. They were so close to the truth, and they missed it. This is what James is saying. He says, I'm a servant of God. Now, this is not James, the son of Zebedee, the brother of John. He was the most prominent to bear the name. He was a fisherman called by Christ to follow, become a disciple. That wasn't him. It certainly wasn't the James, the son of Alphaeus. He was another of those disciples. That wasn't him. He wasn't James, the father of Judas, the disciple. That wasn't him. This was James, the brother of our Lord. Look at Acts chapter 12, if you would. You find two names, James, here. And bear with me. This is a little bit of the teaching mode, but I think it's important for you to gain an understanding of a book because it'll help you to feel comfortable and confident. Hey, we studied through James. I know a little bit about this guy. This is the one, notice in Acts chapter 12, the Bible says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He was a bad guy. He was the grandson of Herod the Great, built most of what you would still see today as far as antiquity is concerned, including the temple. This is his grandson. He is a bad guy in all regards. The Bible says, Luke says, I'm going to end up identifying the fact this is the guy that vexed the church. He put pressure on the church. He created trouble and pressure on them. And then it says, verse 2, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. He killed him. This is the guy that Peter, James, and John. And this isn't the James that wrote the book. This is the James who was a disciple. Then you move forward with Peter in the prison. Do you remember that story? The angel let him out, freed Peter from prison. Verse 16, Peter continued knocking because he got out of prison. He went to the Bible study, the prayer meeting. They opened the door. He saw them. They were astonished. You can imagine standing there at the door like, hello, open the door. I want to come in. And verse 17 says, but he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, he declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James. Not James the disciple, James the pastor at the church, James the pastor at Jerusalem. He was now the leader of the church in Jerusalem, probably 12 years after the ascension of Christ. He found himself at leadership roles. You find the same thing in Acts chapter 15. We don't have time to describe all of it, but James was the one that was helping clarify some problems in the church. James was the one that spoke out in Acts 15, 13. After that, they held their peace. James answered, and he went on to clarify about Peter and what Peter saw and Paul and Barnabas and those men that he has identified with that level of leadership. James was an important person. So when he wrote this letter, it wasn't a shock. It wasn't as if someone was surprised about it.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.